Good morning, church. Let's go to announcements. Prayer meeting every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock in the room behind the sanctuary here. Women's Bible study on Tuesday evenings, 6:30 to 9. Terry Buckler is teaching a study of 2 Samuel. All women are encouraged and invited to attend. Wednesday night, service, prayer, and Bible study at 6 o'clock p.m. Please come. All are invited and welcome to attend. Fellowship potluck dinner today. And if you didn't know about it, you need to go over there because there's going to be plenty of food. It smells good. And I think it's always been very good. So the fellowship is well worth it, and the food is substantial. And you're welcome whether you donated anything or not. Kindness Cottage food donations, January 28th and February 4th. These are items that are requested for Kindness Cottage. A bag of dry potato beans, macaroni and spaghetti noodles, jellies, canned diced tomatoes, and tomato sauce. Those are to be delivered to the table back here, I think, and then Gene Fox sees to it that they get the Kindness Cottage for people that need it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your grace and for your love and your patience with us. Father, we look at our world and we see a world in need, more in need of you than it ever has been. And we pray, Father, that you lead us to reach out to those people that need to hear your word, need to understand what you're all about, need to understand that you are God and you are an awesome, awesome God, the creator of all. And we pray, Father, for peace and for those who are persecuted and those who are victims of human trafficking that are going on day by day in this country. We pray for you, your help to this world, because the world needs you more now than it ever has. We pray for Pastor Mike, who delivers the message today. We pray that you be with him, Father. We pray for Lake Country Bible Church, that you bless each and every one of its members and the families. We pray, Father, that you be with our leaders in this congregation, that we seek to share the gospel message so that people that come to this church know that they have heard your word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Daniel 9, 1 through 24. Daniel 9, 1 through 24. Daniel 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and the dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts, from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and all the people of the land. O Lord, Righteous belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, though all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses and the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges, that judge us by bringing upon us great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil came upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath God, the Lord, watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he hath doeth. We have obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with the mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision in its beginning, because to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon my people and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy.
having at your house to eat after pulling that on my wife, but I think she'll probably get over that.
You will, won't you?
Good. I'm a blessed man to have that young lady, and I thank the Lord for her every day. She's an encouragement. She's an instructor, a good instructor, and she also is a great advisor, and I'm so thankful for her and the years that we've spent together, 62 years. And I have a little something that I want to just share with you. I was handed an envelope this morning, and in it are these handwritten pages, some 20 of them. There is a lady by the name of Melissa who has some problems as far as meeting her bills, whose house burned, barns burned, trucks burned, is having all kinds of problems. I don't know how much that our church can do to help this lady, but she does need, she's in trouble with the city because she's not cleaned up from the fire. So I don't know if we can help in any way, but it's an opportunity for us to think about and pray about, and leave this up to the deacons and let them take a look at it and see if there might be some way we could help this lady. I think that we should. It's good to see everybody this morning. It seems like it's tough to find the outside temperature that is encouraging for people to come to church. It's either too cold or it's too hot. I was giving Henry a hard time this morning, and I told him that we were going to have another baptismal service next week out at the lake, and ask if he would like to be baptized. He says, "I've already been baptized." And I agree that with you, Henry. I've been baptized too, and believe me, if there's anything that I like any more than a warm meal, it's a hot bath and a hot baptism. So, sir? My wife is the same way. She can't always. This morning, as I was preparing for this morning, I ran across this story of this pastor who pastored a pretty good-sized church. And pastors are notorious for not being paid very much. And this pastor was not paid very much by this church. And so the church got to feeling guilty about it, and so they thought that they would buy him a new suit. He hadn't had a new suit in a while, and all his suits and clothes were looking a little bit shabby. Of course, they wanted to have a good testimony before the community, and so they bought him a brand new expensive suit, and he was so excited with that suit that he decided that he was going to preach next Sunday. He got it for his birthday, and he was going to preach next Sunday in that new suit. And so as they gathered for services the following Sunday, in the bulletin read, "Be sure and be in attendance for this Sunday, or the pastor will be preaching in his birthday suit." So I don't know if that will draw a crowd or not here, but anyway. We're looking into the 9th chapter of Daniel. We find as we look at the book of Daniel that chapters 2 along with chapter 7 and also chapter 8 have to do with the Gentile nations. And as we look at this, we come to realize that chapter 9 is not to the Gentile nations, but to the Israelites. So let's look to the Lord in word of prayer as we begin our study in Daniel chapter 9. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for grace. Father, as we listen to our Sunday school service this morning, our minds are drawn to the fact that there are no perfect people. You came to give your life and shed your blood that we might have forgiveness, have our sin paid for in full, and have a place called heaven as our home. And yet, Father, we know that you still work with these ones that you died and purchased their salvation. And those who have trusted you were still imperfect people. And Father, we pray that as we look to you this morning, that you would take and calm our thoughts and calm our minds, that we might see and understand the things that you would have us to this morning. And Father, we'll give you the honor and praise, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, we find chapter 9, as we begin there in chapter 9, chapter 9 speaks of the nation of Israel from the time of Daniel to the time of Christ and the church. And so we find here that it's as we look in here and we see the Israelites and all that God is going to express to them in this chapter, or to Daniel for them in this chapter, we will find that the church is not mentioned in the Old Testament at all. We find that it is only comes about as the beginning of a called out of assembly of those who've trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Those people compose the church. Now, we have a local church here in Mineola, Texas. There are many local churches in this area. We are a very church-aware area of Texas. But how many of these churches have the truth when it comes to the gospel? Salvation by grace through faith, once saved, always saved, indwelt by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, strengthened by our study of the Word of God and the illumination of the Holy Spirit who indwells us all, who know Christ as our personal Savior. We are a very churchy area in the state of Texas. Daniel here is going before the Lord, and he is making a plea unto the Lord. My mind, as I studied this week, my mind didn't pick up on the things that show us here in chapter 9 that Daniel was beside himself as he sought the Lord's will and understanding. O Lord, my God, Daniel was overwhelmed with the sinfulness of his nation of Israel. Israel had been in Babylonian captivity for a number of years. Daniel spoke time after time, and if you read again chapter 9, you will find here in the early verses of chapter 9, Daniel's plea was, O my Lord, O my God. Daniel had a real revelation as to who God really was as he considered all of the things that had gone through, or that Israel had gone through during this 70 years in the nation of Babylon. We find in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, and 2, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, and he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. God revealed unto Daniel these truths. Daniel was so taken with guilt for his nation. And we find later on so taken with his own guilt and his own misgivings about the leadership of God Almighty in his day-to-day life that he calls out even later in the same vein that he starts out here in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 24. Not only was Daniel a prophet of God, used as an instrument to reveal things of the future beginning back under Nebuchadnezzar, but also he was a firm believer in the prophecy of the past prophets of God. Daniel understood the prophets. He saw the things that came about as a result of their prophecies. Israel was warned of God through Moses and Deuteronomy that judgment would be poured out upon the nation if it should forget God or God's law. Daniel knew that this had taken place. Daniel came before the Lord with this mighty entreaty of, "Oh my Lord." Daniel was brokenhearted as he began to see and as God revealed unto him how Israel had departed from following the Lord God Almighty. And we find that the blessings would be theirs if Israel obeyed God, but cursings would be theirs if they disobeyed God. And Daniel realized that they had not obeyed God. They had were disobedient. And they disobeyed God in his leadership and his direction. I can't help but apply this to us today. How many of us are guilty of not following God's leadership in our lives? We have the Holy Spirit as our indwelling presence of God Almighty in our daily walk with him. We find that here they were in the land of their enemies, all Israel was in captivity, proof that they had broken his commandments and his laws, and had become their recompense or payment for their disobedience. During this time, Daniel was reading the prophet Jeremiah, who prophesied of the Babylonian exile, and not only the exile, but also the duration of the exile, which was 70 years. We want to take a look at Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. And it reads, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Jeremiah 25, verse 12, "And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation." There had been, at this time of the writing, almost 70 years now that Israel had been in captivity. And Daniel knew from what he saw around him and the leading of the Holy Spirit in his understanding that it was about time for Israel to go back to that city of Jerusalem, which was in completely disrepair and in heaps of ashes. About time for them to go home. And Daniel said that he was, indicated that he was in anguish over the sin of Israel. And being in anguish over Israel's sin, Daniel had to admit before the Lord that he, as all of the others, had not done all that God would have them to do. They had not followed God. But it was time. When we read of the time which characterizes the end of this age, we can't help but believe as believers that the return of Christ is awfully close, the rapture of the church. We find, though, that Daniel confesses Israel's sin, as I said. "Oh, my God, oh, my Lord." These were pleadings that God would hear him and respond to his prayers. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Has there ever been a time in your life that you have realized that you have wandered so far from God? There have been in mine. Have you ever come to the place that you were in anguish because of your walk not being pleasing to the Lord? Maybe there were things in your life that should not have been there. There have been things in my life that should not have been there. There should have been things in my life that were not there. Have you ever been in that situation? Daniel found himself in that situation. And he said, "And I prayed unto the Lord, O my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments." God is faithful. God was faithful to Daniel. God was faithful to the Jewish nation as He brought them out of captivity. 70 years dwelling in the area of Babylon and in the city itself under great persecution, under great task set out by their captors. They suffered for 70 years. They came to the point, and Daniel saw they were coming to the point of despair. And here he prayed unto God, "O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments." As I thought about my life, thought about the years in which my life was not all that it should have been for the Lord. Maybe I gave the excuse that I was getting older. Maybe it was that I gave the excuse that I had so many things to do. At one time, we had a youth work Monday nights from 7 until whatever time we got all the kids home. We've had anywhere from 40 to 120 in our home at one time. Pastored a church, prepared a sermon for Sunday morning, Sunday school. I was prepared for Sunday school on Sunday morning. Sunday night, I prepared for Sunday night. Monday night, I prepared for Monday night. Wednesday night, prayer meeting at church. I prepared for that. We ran buses to bring kids to church because, just as it is today, but maybe not to the extent that it is today, parents didn't see the need of having their children in church. We ran buses. We bought buses that were not fit to be bought and put on the road, and yet we, by faith, put them on the road. They required repair and attention on Saturday. The church needed to be cleaned. And that lady sitting right down there joined right in without a complaint. During the springtime and the summer, we did the yard mowing and cleaning up around the church. All of these things can get you to the point where you say, "I'm just tired. I put my family behind the things of the church and behind other people's family. It was wrong. I should not have done that. I suffered the consequences of that with a little bit of anguish, remorse. My wife never failed me. She never discouraged me. She never said, 'I'm tired.' But I was tired, and I knew that she had to be tired, having that many kids, teenagers, in your home. You just didn't keep a clean house following Monday night ranch meetings. Loaded kids up on those buses. Buses that shouldn't be able to go around the block. We drove down to Boca Raton, Florida. 28 hours, nonstop. Shouldn't have made it. Took kids that they might hear the gospel be encouraged to follow the Lord in their walk with Him. It's easy to become wore out. It's easy to become burned out. Those were days that were very difficult for me. But God is good. I cried unto the Lord, O Lord, show me what to do. Church that I had started, the ranch which I had started, the youth work, we called it ranch. Hard to do. I gave it, the leadership of the ranch, to a couple that came up through ranch. We dissolved the church. Just couldn't keep it going. I regret allowing myself to become so much physically, personally involved that I wore myself down. Daniel, here in Babylon. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You see, when we get to the point that we can't go on, we turn to the Lord. And I think God allows us to do that. I was burned out. I went into sort of seclusion in public, but seclusion. Restored my strength. Restored my vision for what the Lord would have me to do. One of the reasons I stand before you this morning. Oh, Lord, my prayer, Daniel's prayer, I prayed unto the Lord, my God, and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned, Daniel says in verse 5, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts, from the judgments, and from thy judgments. Verse 6, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, that phrase again, O Lord, you just know and you feel it from the heart of Daniel, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries, whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. Daniel goes on and he says in verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. You see, the realization that we have strayed from where we should be today as believers, God uses to bring us back to Him. It's what happened to Daniel. It's what happened to the Israelite people. What happens to us? God uses difficult days to bring us back to Him. And He brings along with those difficult days a realization and an understanding, a comprehension, and an acceptance of what He would have us to continue to do. How far we have strayed, how far we have grown apart from our walk with Him, God brings to our minds. So today, I would encourage you as well as to myself, as I look into Daniel chapter 9, we go before the Lord if things are tough. And I know things are tough. this lady, 20 pages of problems in her life, crying out for help. Physical, bodily help, financial help. I don't know this lady, but I do know from her letter that she's going through some tough times. God uses those tough times. If you're going through some difficult times in your life, and I don't know of a believer who's not at one time or another, but if you're presently going through those tough times, take an example from Daniel and go before the Lord in sincerity and honesty and cry out to Him. I believe that that's what this lady has done. I know that God will answer your prayers. He's answered mine in difficult days. And always, always, the glory and honor and thanks belongs to Him. For He's faithful, He's loving, He's kind, He's all-knowing, and He can provide for your needs as He did Daniel's, as we continue our study next Sunday in Daniel chapter 9. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You might be like this lady who wrote this 20-page plea for help this morning. But if that's your situation, maybe not that bad, but bad, you have no peace, no joy, let me encourage you, as I've seen many times in my own life, God used difficult times to minister as never before. So my prayer is, and I pray also yours would be, that we uphold one another in prayer and supplication in the days ahead. As is my custom, when I give the gospel, I know pretty much everybody that's here this morning, and your testimony as far as knowing Christ as your Savior. But if you've been going through some difficult times, I can empathize with you. I'd count it a privilege to pray for you. And if you would like me to remember you, would you just slip up your hand, then you can put it down. Anybody? Anybody? Father, we come to you this morning thanking you so much that you're not only the giver of eternal life, but Father, you're the giver of our daily sustenance, our strength, our direction. And Father, we pray that you would take and prepare our hearts so it's when we come before you, Father, that we would, like Daniel, plea with you for the needs that we have. Oh, my Lord, may it be, Father, our call as we begin, Father, to rebuild and do the things that you've instructed us to do as believers. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Ask your blessings upon this church and every member. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.